Our text for this morning, at least the first half of it anyway, is an oft-used funeral text. When I meet with families of the deceased and ask them if they have any favorite text or the deceased had any favorite text, often we will go with them. And then there are, of course, the old comforting standbys. Psalm 23, right, and this text, "In My Father's House." When I use this text for a funeral sermon, I always like to point out that the King James Version kind of kicks it up a notch. It's not "in my father's house there are many rooms," it's "mansions. There are many mansions, one for each of you." And I like to think about what perhaps the departed loved one's mansion might look like in heaven. It's a good way to include the personality of that one in the funeral message. What might their mansion look like? Well, this morning, maybe we can play a little bit with our own. What do we think our heavenly mansion will look like? I was joking with Monica on the way down here. One of her dreams is to have a house with a stream in the backyard. Surely her mansion will have a stream. You too, huh? I was thinking about mine. I'd like to have a dark oak paneled library with books and a reading chair and maybe one of those ladders. Now, enough books for ladders. Have fun. Think about what it might be like of all you ever dreamed of. Of course, be careful, because there is a line there. There is the ninth commandment, right? Don't covet someone else's house. Maybe that's part of the point. There'll be no need for coveting, because all of us will have all that we ever desired. But I always move on from picturing the loved one's mansion in the sky. I always remind them that in the Gospel of John, place, physical proximity, dwelling places, always serve as a metaphor for intimate relationship. It's not about streams or library ladders. It's about loving, enduring relationship. This word "abide" or "dwell," depending how it's translated, appears almost 40 times in the Gospel of John alone. Think about the reaction of those to whom he ministered. They stayed, they remained. On and on it goes. And indeed, the very beginning of the Gospel, the Word incarnate, God's self, the Word of God, would come and dwell with God's people. I read once, experienced this presentation where the person suggested that this place, this room in the house of God, is nothing less than the very inviting into the relationship of the Holy Trinity. Well, that's not explicit in our text. Indeed, the whole doctrine of the Trinity is kind of, you know, outside the Bible, worked through by theologians throughout the years. But we have this back and forth with Jesus and God. Right? And Peter says, "Show us the Father." And Jesus, in no uncertain terms, says, "If you see me, you're seeing the Father." Really lends itself towards that understanding that God is three in one, one in three. You see me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father, you've seen me. Jesus never really comes out in any of the Gospels and claims, "I am God." But he says things like,
You've seen me, you've seen the Father.
He uses those emphatic I am statements we've talked about. Today is one of the great ones. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, referring to God's very name, Yahweh. And then he does things that only God can do. Forgives sins. Raises people to new life. So when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, we know that in the story where we are, as Jesus is saying goodbye, it's his farewell to his disciples. He will go on to the cross. And then, of course, to the resurrection. He goes ahead. And in the gospel language, Jesus ascends. We have that from Stephen today. He sees the Lord at the right hand of the Father. And in that relationship of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God welcomes the faithful. When this life has come to an end. There's also in this word abide or dwell or stay an element of time. Right, I was thinking about when we ask someone, if we know they're on a trip and they're in a hotel, we say, where are you staying? Right? We use that phrase where we understand it's a limited time. They're living there, but it's limited. But when we ask someone where their permanent home is, we say, where are you living? We already have a sense of using that word for different senses of time. Here Jesus is speaking with his disciples, and he knows his time there on earth is limited. He is saying goodbye to them, preparing them for when he leaves them. Now, he's told them that, whether or not they're understanding that, of course, is up for debate. They always have these questions. What do you mean you're leaving? Right? We talked about the expectations of the disciples, those looking forward to the Messiah. What do you mean you have to die? I thought you were going to liberate us. But Jesus is saying, my time here is temporary. I must go through my passion, death, and resurrection, and then ascension. But know this, I will not leave you abandoned. Right, that's the promise that is to come, the Spirit now working in the life of the Trinity, in the lives of the faithful. And there's this language of time. Right, Jesus says, I have been here temporarily. I have come to be born and then die as a human is born and then dies. But just as I am Jesus, this carpenter from Nazareth, I too am the very Son of God, and I will return to my Father for all eternity. And so when John uses this language of abide, yes, it's Jesus coming to camp out with us for a bit as a human, but it is moreover the eternal relationship the Father, the Son, and the Spirit share, and the faithful are invited to share also. Jesus tells them their relationship with the divine does not end with his death. It is eternal, forever. So I do not know what your mansion may look like, what your hopes and dreams might be for that perfect place. But I do know this. There is a place for each of you, for each of us, in the divine eternal life of our loving God.